Thank you for being here today. I would invite you to take God's word and please turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We had intended to finish this particular passage of scripture, but we had some bad weather back in December that has put us behind. And so today I want us to finish this particular passage in 2 Timothy, thinking about finishing well. That was the theme the last time we were able to look at this particular passage, or at least the first part of chapter 4. And so today's finishing well, part 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4, looking in verse number 9. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 9. The scripture tells us, Paul tells us, "Be diligent to come to me quickly. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for my ministry. Antiochus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must be aware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. In my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me, and may it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Priscilla, or Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left and Miletus sick. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you as well as Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen." Let's pray. Lord, we love you today. We give you thanks. And as we come to this time, I pray that we would indeed set our hearts to the business at hand, to finish the course that we have been given and to finish it well, to finish the course, to run the race with patience that is set before us. May these be our aims and our goals. And may today we be taught from the Word of God how we can do that at an even greater level. We love you, Lord. We thank you. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Next week, we're going to begin a sermon series about focus, about our attitude, and about how God would work in us and through us. And we'll be looking at that next week. But for today, finish well. Now, the last time we were together in this particular passage, I mentioned the fact that throughout Scripture you have examples of people who finished well and examples of people who did not finish well. And I believe that is absolutely the case. But if you've been involved in church or in ministry for very long, you realize that there are also examples in your life of people who did both. There are examples in your life and examples of mine of people who finished well, who finished the course, but people also who did not finish well. There have been examples of folks who made a profession of faith, who claimed salvation. Perhaps they were baptized, perhaps they were joining a church, and they started well, but somewhere along the line, they begin to drift. And that's how it usually happens, isn't it? People simply drift away from God, drift away from the church, drift away from the things of God. It's not often that someone will simply make a grand pronouncement and renounce the Christian faith or renounce God or claim to be something or this or that. Oftentimes it happens very subtly. It happens very gradually. We just begin to compromise in one little area. We begin to become comfortable with the world system. And slowly but surely we begin to drift until ultimately we drift from the very profession which we once made. Some would say perhaps those who drift away were never Christians in the first place, and perhaps that is the case. Where there is the wheat, there is always the tares. Where God does something amazing and genuine, there is always the counterfeit, and so perhaps that would be the case, though God will have to judge that. My point today is for myself and for us that you and I would learn what it means and would commit ourselves to finishing well. To finish the course, the race that has been set before us. No matter how much time you have, whether the course you have is long or whether the course you have is relatively short, let's be thankful and let's be found faithful when He comes. Jesus told all of those different accounts and all of those stories, especially in Matthew 24 and 25 in the Olivet Discourse, and it was all about being ready when the bridegroom comes, being ready when the Savior returns. Whether He returns for us all or whether He returns for us individually, may we be found faithful doing what He has called us to do. And so Paul is going to give us some instruction today about how we can learn to finish well as we finish out 2 Timothy. And the first grand statement that I'll make is this. Number one, be thankful for the people that God places in your life. If we want to learn to finish well, be thankful for the people that God places in your life. Now, I said that was a grand statement. It's not because I'm saying it. It is because it is what we find in the Word of God. It is so interesting how often Paul mentioned people that he ministered with. Let's look in this one little passage here. In verse number 10, he speaks of Cretans, he speaks of Titus. In verse number 11, he speaks of Luke and he speaks of Mark. At verse number 12, Tychicus. And then you go down into verse number 19, Priscilla and Aquila, the household of Onesiphorus, Erastus, Trophimus, Miletus, Punens, Linus, Claudia, Eubulus. He mentions all of these different people right here in a short period of time. And by the way, that's often the way Paul ended his letters, with personal greetings. Not just generalized greetings, but personal greetings to certain particular folks that he had ministered with, that he had served with, that had befriended him, and that had helped him along the way. We need to be thankful for the people that God places in our life. If we're going to finish well, we need to finish well within the context of community. When we separate ourselves out from the community of faith, oftentimes that's where we get into trouble. That's when we begin to drift. And so we need to be thankful for the people that God has placed in our lives. Now, there's something interesting here that we see, particularly in this passage in verse number 11, when Paul talks about Mark. There's a history there. Acts tells us there's a story there. Oftentimes, when Paul mentions these folks, we don't really know that much about them, but we know something of Mark. When Paul and Barnabas began their first missionary journey in the book of Acts, Paul took Mark with him. And he stayed for a while. He stayed for a season. But the Bible says, and it says it almost as a footnote, around Acts chapter 12 and 13, that at some point Mark left Paul and went back to Jerusalem. He went back to Jerusalem. We're not given much detail at that point. But we're later told that on a second journey that Paul desired to take, Paul didn't want to take Mark this time. He had deserted him the first time. He had deserted Paul and he deserted the mission the first time. So Paul didn't want to take him this time. And in Acts chapter 15, it tells the details of Paul and Barnabas, very close brothers, having a very sharp disagreement. It was so sharp because Paul didn't want to take Mark and Barnabas did. And so ultimately they separated and Paul took Silas and went in one direction and Barnabas took Mark and went to the other direction. There was a huge falling out here. Paul didn't trust Mark. But now towards the end, and many years later, guess who Paul is asking for? Get Mark and bring him with me. For he is useful for me and to the ministry. Isn't that interesting? We see here a reconciliation evidently that had taken place. We see forgiveness. We see Paul understanding the importance of people. And I want to encourage us today as we go forward as God's people here that we come together and that we be thankful and that we support one another. See, the church gives us these things. It gives us support. It gives us fellowship. It gives us accountability. Just knowing that we're going to face one another on a regular basis helps us to be accountable. When we separate ourselves out from the people of God, then oftentimes that's where we begin to go astray. So I encourage you, be faithful to the house of God. Be faithful to the people of God. Be faithful in your ministry. Be here as often as you can. It's important. And as a part of the process of going forward and persevering and finishing well, let's be careful that we do not neglect these things. And be thankful. And I'm thankful for you, church family. And I'm thankful for the people here who volunteer that God has placed into my life and that God has placed into others' lives in order that the gospel may go forth. And I'm thankful for you here today. And I want to make that a public proclamation. But let's keep going. God isn't finished with us yet. God hasn't stopped working in us and through us. He desires, I believe, to do even greater things among us. But in order for us to go forward, we need to go forward together. So be thankful for the people that God has placed. Number two, if you want to finish well, stay close to Christ, stay close to Jesus through His Word, the people of God, and Christ's presence. The Word of God, the people of God, and Christ's presence. In verse number 13, Paul has a request of Timothy. He says in verse 13, "Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments." The books, especially the parchments. What is he speaking of here? It is thought by most historians and by most Bible translators and Bible scholars here that what he's speaking of here is the Word of God, the parchments. It is a word that is very similar to the word graphe, the sacred writings that we looked at earlier in our study. He wanted him to bring the Word of God, the parchments, the papers, the scrolls that contained the law and the prophets and the writings, what we would call now the Old Testament. You see, Paul is facing the end here. We looked at it a few weeks ago. He says, "I have fought the good fight. I've kept the faith." He says, "I'm already being poured out as a drink offering." And we believe that soon after this was written, Paul was indeed martyred for the faith. He was killed for the cause of Christ, and he went to be home with the Lord. And so he realizes his time is short. And what does he ask for? The Word of God and the people of God. The Word of God and the people of God. It's amazing how often when people come to the end, that's what they desire. All these other things that you and I chase after in that moment don't matter nearly as much, do they? All of the things of this world in that moment, when we begin to face the end, when we realize that the end could possibly be near, all of the things that we normally worry about don't seem so important anymore. So it is in that moment that we want the Word of God. We want the comfort of the Word of God. He said, "Bring me the parchments, bring me the books. Bring me the Word of God." Stay close to Jesus through the Word and through His people. But then in verse number 16, I've told you this before, I believe verse number 16 is probably one of the saddest verses in all of Scripture. Paul says in verse number 16, "At my first offense, no one stood with me. They all forsook me. May it not be charged against them." Notice what verse number 17 says. "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Amen. And Paul's first offense. Now, you got to look back at the book of Acts. Where do we find Paul at the end of the book of Acts? He's under house arrest. He is there in Rome. And evidently, at this first offense that you find at the end of the book of Acts, when Paul stood before the magistrates and before the Caesars, evidently at that time, no one stood with him. What an interesting statement. No one stood with him after Paul had impacted so many lives and won so many people to Christ and had planted churches and had encouraged people and helped people. In his greatest hour, in his time of need, to that point in his life, he said, "No one stood with me." But then he says, "Don't worry about it. May it not be laid to their charge, because the Lord stood with me. The Lord stood with me. The Lord strengthened me." Stay close to Christ through His Word and through His people, but also through the very presence of God. God is always with you. "The Lord stood with me." That is a promise that is given from Genesis to Revelation for the people of God, that we will never truly walk alone, that our lives will always be within the compass and within the surrounding of the very presence of God. When we feel it and when we don't feel it. When we're aware of it and when we're not aware of it. When we can sense it, when we cannot sense it. He is there. Stay close to Him through His Word. He said, "The Lord stood with me." And if the Lord stands with you, that's enough. Amen. That's enough. What is the old saying? We don't understand that Jesus is all we need until He's all we have. Well, listen, my friends, if the Lord stands with you, if the Lord strengthens you, that's enough. Now, I'm thankful for people who will come along beside us. I'm thankful for people. We need that. That's important. But if nothing else, the Lord will stand with you. Be aware of His presence. The Lord will stand with you. the Lord will strengthen you. Stay close to Christ. Every day, you and I face a temptation, church, family, and Christian. The temptation is to be pulled away. Every day, it is a constant pull. The things of this world and their allure, the people of this world and their words, there's a constant battle that you and I face to go it alone, to figure it out on our own, and to be pulled from the truth. Make a conscious decision that you're going to stay close in 2019. Make a conscious decision that for the rest of our lives we're going to stay close. Number three, if you want to finish well, be careful who you trust.
Amen.
Be careful who you trust. Verse number 14. Paul warns young Timothy here, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. And you also must be aware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. Be careful who you trust. Said so often before, we're commanded as God's people to love. We're commanded to love all peoples. We're commanded to love the body of Christ. We're commanded to love the lost person, the people out in the world. We're commanded even to love our enemies. And so let's understand that. We are commanded to do that. We're commanded to do good to those who would hate us, to pray for those who would spitefully use us. Jesus talked about that. We mentioned that this last year as we went through the Sermon on the Mount, a couple years ago now. But when it comes to the matter of trust, Paul gives us a warning here. Be careful. He's not suggesting that we never trust. He's not suggesting we never trust people. Paul had to place a lot of trust in Timothy and in Titus and in the people who were elders at the church at Corinth and the church at Thessalonica and the church at Philippi and Ephesus. Why? Because he wasn't going to be there. He was only there most of the time for a short period of time. He had to trust people that he was going to leave behind, that they would stay faithful to the Word of God. So we're not saying never trust anyone. Just be careful. Understand that as you go on this journey, there will be some who will oppose you. There will be many who will oppose the message. They will oppose what you're trying to say. And they will oppose the Word of God. So he says, just be careful. He warns him here, be careful who you trust. Watch this Alexander guy. He really, really did us some harm. And the Lord will repay him according to his works. Now, how do we know how we can trust and who we can trust? Well, I want to say this. It's not an exact science, is it? Sometimes people look to be trustworthy and they turn out not to be trustworthy. But maybe the things to look for are simply things like honesty. Maybe humility. Maybe character, what you can observe. Faithfulness. That's what we look for, isn't it? When we look for leadership here in our church and for people to lead in certain ministries in certain areas, that's where we often start. Are they faithful? Are they going to be here? Can we count on them? And by the way, that takes a little while to figure out, doesn't it? That doesn't happen overnight. It takes some time to find trustworthy people. But just understand that not everybody's going to be happy about your conversion. Not everyone's going to be happy about your experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not everyone is going to like everything that you say because of who you are and because of your relationship with Christ and because of your identity with Christ. And by the way, didn't Jesus warn us about all this? Didn't he say, they're going to hate me and they're going to hate you because of me? Isn't that what he said? He warned us, didn't he? He said there's going to be treacherous times. There's going to be difficult days in the last days. People will become lovers of themselves. Truth will become negotiable. And it already has. So be careful, he says. Be careful. Love everyone. Encourage everyone. Strengthen everyone. Be ministering to everyone that God has given us the opportunity for. But listen, be careful who you trust. Be careful whom you listen to. Be careful, he says. Because not everyone has your best interest at heart. Not everyone has the best interest of the gospel at heart. Stay close. Stay close to him. Be thankful to him for what God has done. Stay in community. Stay in fellowship. Be careful who we trust. Let me give you one last thing. Trust God to save you, to secure you, and to deliver you. Trust God to save us, to secure us, and to deliver us. See, I didn't read the rest of verse 17. He says, "The Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all Gentiles might hear. I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom." See, he desired to be delivered in order that the word of God could go forth. So listen, my friends, trust God to save you first. Are you a Christian? Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? Has there ever been a point in time where you had that experience with God where you realized your lostness, realized your sinfulness before God, realized your guilt before Him? And have you turned and trusted in Jesus? Trust Him to save you eternally. Trust Him also to secure you. Paul didn't know exactly what he was facing. He had a good idea, but I guess he didn't know exactly what he was facing. He just knew that the end was near. He didn't know how. He didn't know when. But he knew this, that he was secure in Christ. And he said, I trust in Him and He will deliver me. He's delivered me in the past and He will deliver me in the future. That's what he seems to be saying in verse 17 and 18. He delivered me out of the lion's mouth in the past and He'll deliver me in the future. You are secure in Christ. You're secure in what Jesus has done for you. And He will deliver you. Now listen, that ultimate deliverance that we're truly seeking and looking for, we're not really going to find here in this life. We'll find shadows of it, we'll find promises of it, but we won't really find that until we see Jesus. You see, we think that if we could just somehow, as human beings, get all the circumstances of our life exactly right, or maybe exactly like we want them, we think that would make us happy and contented and at peace. That's what we honestly believe. Of course, the two problems with that is you'll never get it exactly right. You'll never get exactly everything you want. You and I will never truly find everything that we're looking for in this world. The circumstances will never ever line up. Not perfectly, not as if we like them. And even if they did, they would probably keep us happy for about 5 minutes. I mean, we know who we are, right? We can't be satisfied with much of anything for very long in our humanity and in our flesh. Things get old, things break down. We can't be. That's why Solomon talked about the vanity around him, the meaninglessness of life, and people trying to find hope and trying to find peace and trying to find comfort in the things of the world. Listen, it's just not there. Amen. The only time we will have that is when we reach heaven. Fully and completely. And it's not because of the walls of jasper and the streets of gold. The reason you and I will have perfect peace, perfect harmony, perfect contentment in heaven is because Jesus is there.
Amen.
He is our peace. He is our contentment. He is our comfort. And so there is a sense in which we'll never truly find it here. But there's coming a delivery day. There's coming a day of ultimate deliverance. And that is when it all begins to coalesce. That's when it all begins to come into focus. I'm thankful for the shadows of it we have here. I'm thankful for the glimpse of it that you and I here have here. I'm thankful that we can look and maybe see it as through a glass, through a mirror darkly. I'm glad that His presence is with us. But there's coming a day when all of that will be stripped away and our ultimate deliverance will come. So are you trusting in Jesus? Are you holding fast to Him? Are you serving Him? Are you ministering in Jesus' name? May we as God's people commit to do that every day of our lives so that when the end comes, whenever it does come, we'll be found faithful. Will be found as a good and a faithful servant. Trust God. Trust Him to save you. Trust Him to secure you. And know, dear child of God, that He will deliver you. Yes. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Would you bow your heads, please?